Afternoon. Joining me on the line right now is Brian House. Brian is the sales manager at the airline branch of our friends at Metairie Brank. Metairie Brank. I was doing great there. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Is it too late to change the name of the bank to Metairie Brank?
Probably not. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Well, you know, I'll send an email and see if we can get that done. Anyway, thank you so much for being on today, man.
Hey,
so, let's talk about the Pelicans franchise. Everybody's so excited about the game, and everybody's loving the team and the sort of gritty play that they're getting into. But what I wanted to talk to you today is kind of the economic impact of what's happened just in the last couple months. I think everybody understands the value of having an NBA franchise in your city, but what does this playoff run prove to you about New Orleans' ability to support an NBA franchise long term?
I think when the Pelicans are doing well, it really brings people out. I haven't had a chance to attend a playoff game for this series, but I did go a few years ago when we played Portland, and the atmosphere in the building is tremendous. So if they can keep the momentum going, it definitely brings people out. They start supporting the team more.
Yeah. Okay, great. So aside from just winning and playing great basketball, how can the Pelicans franchise keep that momentum going long term?
I think one of the big pieces is going to be what happens with Zion. Honestly, I don't think it's time to give up on him just yet. I think if he can have a good offseason and come back healthy next year, they can at least have the ability to put a really exciting product on the floor. And of course the winning helps, but if they don't win, if they're at least exciting and they're drawing the fans in there, I think that could be huge for them.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I go on a journey of the mind with me here for a second, Brian. If the Pelicans franchise, God forbid, just sort of like raptured out of existence and went to some other city and in some other part of America, what would the impact be here in New Orleans? How would we feel that? And how, let's say they went to Des Moines, Iowa, just as a random example.
Right.
What would that mean for Des Moines? If you could just kind of tell us, what would it mean to lose a franchise, you know, in the modern age, and what would it mean to get one?
I think that's a tough question to answer from the New Orleans standpoint, because, you know, we had the Jazz, lost the Jazz, took on the Hornets a number of years later, which then became the Pelicans. So it's been kind of a transitional city for basketball. So I think you'd have a number of people that would certainly be disappointed because as of the last couple of years, they've become an exciting team. But overall, would the city be that heartbroken if they left? That's a tough question.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we'd all be sadly, but I more specifically was after, you know, what are we talking about in terms of job loss and other, you know, knock-on effects of losing out
on
estate and, you know, sort of the vendors and the merchandisers and everybody that has a job that's connected to those games.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd have a number of people that work inside the Smoothie King Arena that wouldn't have, you know, that opportunity because you wouldn't have a daily, weekly, monthly product in there that you'd be working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have all the players that play on the team. They get the salary. I'm sure they spend the money here locally, so you have that impact of it as well. So from that aspect, it would be a significant loss.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, so what if you're Des Moines then? What if you're a policymaker, if you're the mayor of the city council in Des Moines, Iowa, and you say, oh, snap, we're getting a big NBA franchise here. What's kind of your top-line reaction there?
I'm sure it would create a lot of excitement. And again, it would transition. It would bring the loss of jobs here to potentially creating a number of jobs and income from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Of course, you'd have probably the negative impact of taxes, like contributing to an arena if there was an existing one, that kind of thing. So you could have the potential for that.
Sure.
Short-term negative impact, but.
Right. So we're all it's sort of still having this conversation or enduring other people around us having it about whether or not New Orleans is a basketball town. So, you know, there's a sense perhaps that the Pelicans may always play second fiddle to the Saints, right? We have such an incredible fandom here, and that's a high bar to reach for the Pelicans. But in your view, how can the Pelicans put together a program to start to have a New Orleans Saints-like presence in this community and in this region?
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, just being exciting. Of course, winning is going to help. It seems like more often than not, they kind of hover around the 500 mark as far as wins and losses. So if they could try to get on the north side of 500 and kind of keep the momentum going throughout the whole season, I think that would help. For me personally, I kind of struggle with the basketball season because, you know, we focus so heavy on the Saints until January, February, you know, on a really good year. And with the basketball season starting around November, December, you kind of don't really start paying full attention to it until it gets, you know, to be February, March, towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So, and there's so many games. With football, every game truly matters. You can afford to lose a couple here and there. With basketball, you could lose 5 at a time, 10 at a time.
Nice.
Of course, you don't want to do that, but ultimately, the games don't matter as much, so you can kind of put off your focus until the season really gets closer to the end to kind of see where they're at.
Great. Okay, Brian, look, there's something that's on my mind. It's got nothing to do with the Pelicans, and if this is a little bit outside of the bounds of what you're prepared to talk about today, I'm sorry, but I got to do it because it's weighing heavily on me, Brian. I've just got engaged, and I'm going to be married in October.
Awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I was very excited. Nobody's happier about it than me. However, we're starting to kind of stitch our financial lives together in a way that I have never done before. And I was just
mingling finances.
Yeah, exactly right. So I don't know what's your first reaction to that? Do you have any just great advice or suggestions for me or things that she and I should avoid as we have a joint checking account and we're going to start, you know, putting all of our money into that, and then we'll break out little pieces for our own personal spending during the week, but. We want to save up to buy a house, and we want to save as much money as we can to do that and to go on vacation. If I walked into the airline branch of Metairie Bank today and told you that, you know, as your customer, what's your reply?
Well, I think it is a great idea to have a joint account for all your household bills. My wife and I do that ourselves, so we know what has to be in there every certain month for the bills to get paid, and then kind of whatever we have after that is either we each have our own like personal allowance, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then if you are saving up for something like a house, I think it'd be a good idea to have a separate account for that. And I guess you talking amongst yourselves, dictate how much you want to try to put in there every month, depending on what your goal is. But I think it's a good idea to keep that separate as well.
Word. Good. Okay. That's good for today. Brian, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Awesome. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, sir. Have a great one. We'll talk again soon. Right. Brian House is the sales manager at the airline branch of Metairie Bank.